Let us open our Bibles together tonight to God's Word in 1 Peter chapter 5. Reading the Word of God together in 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, the elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions which are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory, by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. By Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you, as I suppose, I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God, wherein ye stand. The church that is at Babylon, elected together with you, saluteth you, and so doth Marcus, my son. Greet ye one another with a kiss of charity. Peace be with you all that are in Christ Jesus. Amen. For a few moments tonight, I direct your attention to God's Word in verses 6 and 7. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care or worry or anxiety, casting all your anxiety upon him, for he careth for you. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, we learn from this passage of God's Word that every one of us face and experiences anxiety. Every one of us. That anxiety may be on the surface so that tonight it is seen written in our face and in the lines of our forehead. And it may be an anxiety that has reached the point that it is controlling our life. Or that anxiety may be deep down and intricate and hidden. But it's there. It's there for both old and young, married and unmarried, male and female. Notice with me the second sentence of verse 5 of the chapter. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility, casting, and then verse 7, casting all your care upon him, upon God, for he careth for you. You note that in the chapter, Paul began addressing specific groups of the church, elders, in verse 1. He went on to verse 5 to the younger, to submit to the elder. He had specific words to specific groups. But then in the middle of verse 5, he turns to all of us without exception. He emphasizes it, yea, indeed, all of you be subject one to another and cast your care, all of you, upon God. All of you have care and anxiety, cast it upon God. In other words, the Word of God is teaching us two things about ourselves, everyone here, without exception, absolutely, tonight. And those two things that is being taught is that we are all proud. And we are all anxious. We are all proud. We may not want to admit that. In fact, if we say that that's not true of us, we have therefore sealed that it's true that we're proud. But the Word of God says to every one of us, humble yourself. All of you be subject and be clothed with humility. All of us must be humble. Therefore, it is absolutely true that all of us are by nature proud sinners. And then it's also true that all of us are anxious. For again, the apostle says to us not only that we must be humble, but that all of us must cast our anxiety, which means that all of us have that anxiety. Anxiety is something that exists in every one of us. Children, young people, married, unmarried, men and women, old and young, we worry. We worry about God's will. We worry about what's going to happen in the future. We worry about health. We worry about our children. We worry about our marriage. We worry about our looks. We worry about money. We worry about just anything and everything. Now God knows this. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising, and art acquainted with all my thoughts afar off. And God our Father in heaven knows that this is a very serious thing spiritually. For anxiety, as we see from the Word of God, robs us of our peace in Christ Jesus. It robs us of the sense of the presence of God about us. God knows that this is a serious issue because the issue of anxiety is the issue of faith. It's the issue of trust. It's the issue of hope in our God. For Jesus would say repeatedly in his ministry, be not faithless, but believing. Take no thought for the morrow. Your heavenly Father knows what you have need of, O ye of little faith. God knows what we are prone to do by nature, to carry our anxieties, to think that we're the ones who are going to solve them, or that we can banish them and chase them away. And here he tells us in his word what he calls us to do. Cast them. Cast all your care on God. It is not his will that we be overcome in our anxiety. God is not like a tyrannical ruler of the earth like Joseph Stalin, who wanted his people in Russia at that time to be in fear and to be in anxiety and to ask the question, what next? He wanted that so that they would do what he told them. This is not God. For God dwells with us within covenant. And covenant is fellowship with God without fear and in love. And so he calls us tonight to faith, to courage, and to boldness. Consider with me the text under the theme, our anxiety is to be cast upon God, not carried. And note with me three things. The threat of arising anxiety, that which gives rise to our anxiety. Secondly, the solution to our anxiety. And finally, the promise of exaltation. As the temperature in this past week soared, so anxiety soars and rises within us. New ones replace old ones, and then they all combine within, and we can't sort them out. In the lives of the saints of God to whom Peter is writing this epistle, therefore to us, There were many things in their Christian calling that would give rise in their flesh to all sorts of anxieties. This epistle begins in the first chapter and in the first verses addressing us as pilgrim strangers who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus and therefore have been set apart from this present world. And as the epistle goes on, become the object of the ridicule, persecution, and slander of the world. In the first chapter, Peter addressed the reality that now we must undergo a fiery trial over our faith. He spoke in chapter 4, the last part of the reality that we must learn to suffer as a Christian. These particular Christians to whom Peter is writing endured prison and injury and slander. And he says to us in chapter 3, verse 14, that we will suffer for righteousness' sake and that we must not be afraid of the terror that the world seeks to press upon us. There will be the plundering of our property, the loss of money, and all of these things in the lives of those Christians would cause their anxiety to rise. And the point is that if you live by God's grace as a pilgrim stranger, sanctified in Jesus Christ, desiring to walk humbly and obediently with your God, there will be in this life many threats to your peace of mind and many occasions for fear. But Jesus said, "Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." But note with me that in our text, the Spirit is pointing to a specific threat to our peace. A threat that we don't often think of. He's speaking here of something unique. It's the call to humility that in our flesh leads to anxiety. Now follow carefully. The text obviously is controlled by the call to humility. Humble yourself. All of you be clothed in humility. Then the verse 6, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, casting all your care upon Him. So humility and anxiety are being woven together. And we need to see tonight the connection. And we should note that at the end of verse 6, there is no period. At the end of verse 6, in different translations, you will find a period. That's wrong. If you put a period at the end of verse 6, then you have two separate thoughts. Be humble and don't be anxious. Two thoughts. But if you take away the period, then that word casting all your care, is a participle, which simply means that it's connected to the main verb. And the main verb is humble yourself, casting your care upon God. So that there's a continuation of a thought. Clothe yourself with humility. Humble yourself before God, casting your anxiety upon God. Not two thoughts, you should be humble, and then you shouldn't have anxiety, but really one thought. In other words, there's something about the call to humble ourselves before God that makes it very urgent to immediately add, cast your care upon God. Or, you can put it this way, there's something about the call to humbling ourselves, Christ's call, be humble, there is something about that, that to our flesh, immediately gives rise to anxiety. That's the point. Now why? Now think about it. To obey the call of Christ by His grace to be humble, to the flesh, means that we put ourselves at risk. Someone's going to get ahead of me. Peter says, be clothed with humility. So do that. Do that right now. Do that tonight in our church life, in the narthex. Humble yourself before everyone. Do that in your marriage, right now. In your marriage, humble yourself. Do that with your friends. Humble yourself. And there's something, when we understand what humble ourselves means, that gives our flesh a cause of anxiety. Stop and think about it. Stop and think about what it means to humble ourselves. What does it look like practically now? Practically speaking, what is the grace of being clothed with humility? What does that look like? Well, it means that if you have made a mistake, no, if you have sinned, you confess it to that person. You don't wash it over. You confess it to your husband, to your wife. You don't say it in a way that makes you look better. That's pride. That's not humility. You admit it. You admit it to your spouse. You admit it to others. And your flesh is saying, whoa. She's going to have one up on me now if I admit that. Humility means that we acknowledge, that I acknowledge I am weak. I am inadequate. I can't do anything of myself apart from God. It means that I'm not too proud to ask for help. That humility exposes myself. I'm afraid that people are going to say, well, Reverend, you're not supposed to have that problem. You're a minister. You're not supposed to have a weakness. Humility says, I have a weakness. I need help. I need your prayers. But there's a temptation that when I am called to be humble, anxiety arises. Humility in the Church of Jesus Christ means that you are willing to take the lowest place. You'll not get any recognition. Your name won't get on the bulletin. You won't have a high profile. It means that you will talk as a young person. For want of a better way of explaining it now, I'm going to use the word ordinary people. You'll hobnob. You'll talk with maybe someone who's not very popular in the church. There's no payoff for you. There's no prestige. In fact, you're running a risk of other people saying, you talk to him? To her? When you step back and when you understand scripturally what it means, the call of Christ to be humble, then the flesh immediately understands that there's a risk here. And what is the risk? The flesh sees this risk. I'm going to lose face. What about me? To the flesh, humility, lowliness, is the risk of being looked down upon. And out of that comes anxiety. I'm going to admit my temper. Trusting in Christ. Christ calls me, humble yourself before me. Confess your sins. I'll take care of you. Admit that in the marriage. But the problem is, my anxiety arises, my flesh arises me and says, no, I'm not going to do that. Because I'm afraid that they're not going to say, well, I'm a sinner too. And the grace is the same with me, brother. I'm a sinner. But I'm afraid that they're going to look at me and say, you indeed are a sinner. And now they have something up on me. I acknowledge that I need help. That's a humble thing. But then people will see me as weak. I can't do that. I'm going to be friendly and talk to that person who other people don't talk to. They stand on the outskirts. They're not part of the group. That's very Christ-like, after all. Because who am I? Just what do I think of myself? Of course, we do that. But humility brings a cost. What will they say? What will they say about me? Every act of God's grace, we can broaden it out, but every act of the grace of humility in Christ comes with the trial or the temptation of the flesh, which means that the accolade, the stroke that I want is not going to be there. Humility is painful to the flesh. It makes me anxious. To live out of that love of Christ as Christ has called me to do is a very costly thing to our ego. That's what makes us so anxious. And here's the point that God is making to us. Far more anxiety can arise within our hearts over our pride than over our concern for bread and money. We become anxious, the Lord knows that, over bread and over money. What will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? How are we going to live in this place? How are we going to pay for this? The economy stays down. Am I going to be able to get a job? Can I afford the tuition? This is great stress. It is. And Jesus says, your Father knows what you have need of. That's true. But how much anxiety does not arise from that, but rather arises from this? What do other people think of me? Specifically, if I obey Christ and humble myself, lose myself, and get in the end of the line, what's going to happen to me? I'm going to look like an absolute, just the way we talk to ourselves, I'm going to look like a fool if I talk to them, to other people. If I take Christ seriously, be filled, covered with humility, be clothed with humility, if I tell my wife, my husband, I sinned in my attitude and what I said, if I take the place in the church which is so lowly, there won't be any recognition. And then maybe people will begin to take advantage of me, we say. The call to humility causes the anxiety of the flesh to rise. When Christ calls to faith and obedience, the flesh always responds. And here it responds with anxiety. That's why the Spirit put these together. Be humble. Clothe yourself in humility. Cast your care upon God, because God knows us. God knows exactly how we tick in our sinful nature. He knows everything about us. So when He calls us to humility, He immediately adds, cast your worries upon God. Be humble. Be transparent. Be gracious. Be open. Be approachable. Fall down as a sinner into the arms of God and believe God's going to take care of you. Be humble. But immediately, I believe it's called posturing. Our whole society is built on it. Immediately, we're worried about our posture, our appearance before others, about the right group, the right strokes, the right clothes, about losing face. Anxiety resists the call to humility. What's the solution? The flesh says, well, don't be humble. don't be humble. God says, cast those worries upon me, for I care for you. Now there is in this passage a very lovely figure at this point in the text. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, we read in verse 6. God's mighty hand is His power. His power in action in the behalf of His children. His unfailing power. Just one text, Job 12 verse 10. In whose hand, in God's hand, is the soul of every living thing and the breath of all mankind. God holds the nostrils, the breathing of every human being in His hand. The apostle says to us, God says, now come under, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. And the figure is this, so to speak. You can't get under the hand of God consciously and spiritually with that load of anxiety on your back. You can't fit under there. So God says, take that anxiety and cast it on me. Cast it into my hand. So take your fears, take your cares and your worries that you have when you are called to be humble. Take it and cast it upon my hand and then come under my hand for absolute perfect protection. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. When God says, humble yourself under His mighty hand, He does it. The figure is not like a dog that cowers before the master who beats it with his hand, but is the hand of my Father. It's the place where I can bring everything that causes my chest and heart to sigh and to heave. I feel like there's a brick on my chest. Take that, and in prayer, put it into His hand by grace. And then the beauty continues, because that word cast has very much to say about God's compassion and condescension. Let me explain that. That word cast here is used only one other place in the New Testament. And because God chooses His words, verbal inspiration, that makes us perk up. And we look for that other place where it's found, and it's found in Luke 19:35 on Palm Sunday, when Jesus entered into Jerusalem, we read, and they brought Him, that's a donkey, they brought a donkey to Jesus, and cast, there's the word, cast their garments upon the colt. And Jesus sat thereon. What they did was they opened up and flung their coat upon this beast of burden. And God says, you do that. You open up in prayer and you cast everything that is oppressing you, everything that presses upon you at night, everything that makes you think, I don't want to get out of bed in the morning. You spread that. You cast it over me. Here God is magnifying His power in carrying our anxieties. God loves to glorify Himself, to reveal His majesty and His glory as the only burden bearer. God loves. This is what God loves. He loves to show His supreme majesty and His infinite tender compassion as one. You have too much to carry. You can't get up that hill. You're weighed down by many burdens. God says, spread them out and cast them all in prayer on me. Now listen. Listen to God's voice. God's voice. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He will never suffer the righteous to be moved. Isaiah 46, verses 1 through 4. Bel boweth down, and Nebo stoopeth. Isaiah is speaking of the Babylonian gods. These idols. God says they can't move. You put them on a cart, he says in that passage, and the cart gets stuck in the mud, and you sweat to move your gods. But I'm not that way. I am he who have carried you even from your mother's belly. Even unto your old age, I am he. I will carry you. I will bear. I will deliver you. God says, don't carry your anxiety. Cast it upon God. But though that is so plain, every one of us yet believes deep down that we can carry him ourselves. And that's why God says, humble yourselves, casting your care upon me. Because it's a pride thing. We cringe. We cringe when we see it in the world of unbelief. They say to us, I don't need your God to carry my sins. And I don't need your God to carry my anxiety. I can do it myself. Oh, yes, I can. But you see, that which we hear in the world is true of that which is inside us. We are no different. We are so afraid that we're going to be seen for who we are. Sinful and weak and selfish and inadequate and mixed up sinners. So we put up our front. I can do it. And God says, no, you can't. And God says, no, you can't carry your anxieties because God is tender and gracious. Yes, yes. But right now, God says to you and to me, you can't because I am God. And not you. Think about it. Exactly who gets the glory in the bearing of anxiety? Who will get the glory? The glory will be in God. So, beloved, the glory must be God. Therefore, cast your cares upon God. But there is another reason in the text. We cast our anxieties upon God because God cares for you. And that part of the text, I want to say, is so beautiful that you need to simply read that. And you need to remember that it is God who is saying that. He careth for you. And there the apostle, the Spirit is having a play upon words. Cast your cares, your worry upon God, for God is anxious, God cares about you. What's true of our anxieties? Well, we bear them on our heart. We can't put them down. We can't set them down. We can't seem to get out from them. Well, God says, I care for you. So dear are you to me in Jesus Christ. So much are you upon my mind. So tied are you unto my heart in Christ. I care for you. And the whole Bible now is simply full of this. The whole Bible is like a honeycomb. It leaks out the honey. You can't touch the Bible without the believer getting this upon his hand throughout the Bible. God cares for his children. The Lord will take care of you. The Lord will take care of you. Take that load, cast it into His mighty hand, and come under that mighty hand. He cares for you. Cast your burden on Him. When the job that you've had for 25 years might be gone and its benefits, when you don't know where your daughter is, when man cannot find a diagnosis, when you are wrong and you are simply stubborn and bullheaded and you need to confess it and to admit it, cast your care upon God. When your future is not known, from the biggest to the smallest, cast thy burden on the Lord. You and I need to do this every moment, every day, in the moment of the press, when the battle rages around us, when the fears are thick, cast your burden on the Lord. Tomorrow at 10 o'clock, when you have that thing that you talked about, Tuesday, and what's going to happen on Tuesday, on the wings of prayer, cast your care upon God. Every day, every hour, everywhere, don't carry. Do not carry your anxieties. Cast them upon God in prayer, that He may exalt you in due time. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting your care upon Him. The promise of God here that He will exalt us, this promise of God is better than anything we can imagine. For God to exalt us, follow carefully, for God to exalt us is better than anything you can desire. I'm talking now of a sanctified desire. I'm talking now of the thing that you're desiring in Jesus Christ. The thing that you desire and you want, and because you're not sure about it, it's causing you anxiety and you're worried. For God to exalt you is better than the greatest thing that you can desire. For God to exalt you is better. For when God exalts you, He shines His face upon you in Jesus Christ. He gives you amazing and wonderful peace. He draws you into His covenant grace of arms of mercy. He shows you Himself And he says, for God to exalt you is simply this. When God exalts us, you know what he says, children? This is what he says. Come up and sit next to me and know me. And that's better. That's better than anything you can desire. Note with me concerning that promise that he says, that he may exalt you. And the point is that the blessing of God's exaltation and the fullness of the peace of his presence is given to us in the way of humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace unto the humble. Verse 5. He will, that he may exalt you. He does not exalt us. He does not give us that feeling of exaltation in him in the way of pride. And then secondly, note that he says that he may exalt you in due time. And there you can read, in his time. And I heard this week a definition of patience. And the definition that I heard was a good one. Waiting for God's time. Patience is God's time. God will not always come in the timing that we want. God will not necessarily fix things the way we want them. But God will exalt us. Don't say to him, where is he? Don't say, why doesn't he fix this marriage? Why doesn't he give me a job? Why doesn't he heal this child? Why does he not grant the desire of my heart? If he cares so much, why doesn't he give me the desires of my heart? Don't talk that way to God. Don't tell him how he is to love you. Don't advise him about your life and about the life of the world and how it ought to be run. Don't do that. Look, just look to the cross of Jesus Christ. Now let's put God to the test. Because he glories in being tested in that way. Let's not just hear this word of God tonight, but right now, by his grace, let us do this word of God. Let us do it tonight. Let us do it tomorrow. Let us resolve that we shall do this in this week. For tonight, before the night is over, there will be 100 opportunities to cast your care upon God. And before tomorrow is over, if God gives you life, there will be 1,000 opportunities to do this word of God. And you and I will not get out of this auditorium. We will not go through those doors before a cloud of anxieties will be swirling over our heads and will be tempting to seize us in fears. That's the way it is. But God's word is greater than all. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, casting all your care upon him. For he careth for you. Amen. Gracious Heavenly Father, we have heard thy word, though it is spoken in weakness. And indeed it is thy word, and so precious. In thy faithfulness grant us the Holy Spirit, that this word may now be knit to the preaching as a seamstress would knit, so may thy word be woven thread after thread upon our heart, this very verse of Scripture, and that we may put it to practice. Thou hast opened to us our hearts, and how true it is, O Lord, that our pride remains our number one enemy, even unto the grave. How afraid we are by nature, indeed unwilling, resisting the call to the humble walk of life to which Thou hast called us. What will happen is our question to me. Forgive us, Lord. We're proud sinners. May we cast that away. May we cast it on Thee. May we cast every care upon Thee right now. For Thou carest for us. Amen.